It's time for the Taking Notes podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 121 of the Taking Notes podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Connected Robichaud.
And today on the podcast, we had the awesome pleasure of speaking with two IBMers, Sasha Chua and Luis Benitez, who, how would you say it, Julian? Are they Lotus Connections evangelists slash developers slash what?
Yeah, they both are comfortable discussing code and development and things like that, and it sounds like they're actually putting together some kind of interesting code themselves. But at the same time, they're those magical sorts of people that have just really fantastic personalities, and they're very excited about what they do, and they can actually go and talk to customers and evangelize, like
yeah.
You said.
Yeah, they're like the Chris Crummies, right, of the Lotus Notes Domino world, right?
Yeah, and the podcast really kind of reflects that. I mean, not only are they just sort of, you know, talking and joking around and giving us some stories about, connections and how it works and how people are using it, but also, you know, we actually have a little bit of discussion that gets a little more into development topics. And so there's a little bit of discussion even about APIs and some open source things that they're both working on. And you know, then we kind of even swing back around and talk about ROI. So, you know, it's neat because they can talk about just all these different aspects of the Lotus Connections product. And it was fun. It was a good, mm-hmm. a very good interview. I like them.
Yeah, me too. And you mentioned ROI, but you didn't say ROI Bruce Smackdown, did you?
No, I didn't. You'll have to listen for that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in to episode 121. I'm sure you will enjoy the discussion with Sasha Chua and Luis Benitez from IBM talking about Lotus Connections. On the podcast today, we have two people, Sasha Chua from IBM. Sasha, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Sasha Chua. I help companies learn more about emerging technologies. And in my spare time, I hack Lotus Connections tools.
And Luis Benitez. Luis, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How about yourself?
Good, good, good. Thank you for being on the podcast today. And can you tell everyone what you do for IBM?
Of course I can. So right now I'm one of the Lotus Connections evangelists for the Americas. So I get to go to a lot of customer sites and help them plan and strategize and set up the vision for their social software deployment inside the firewall.
That's interesting. A lot of people see and use social software, social media outside the firewall, but I'm very intrigued by how, I'm going to be very intrigued about what you have to say about how people are using it inside the corporate firewall. So would you mind, Luis, just digging right in there? What are some of the things corporations are, I'll start off with, what are they hesitant about when it comes to social software behind the firewall, the use of it?
So I think, one of the first things that kind of sets people back is the name. So when you say social software in the minds of the executives, they start thinking about Facebook and Twitter and perhaps people just socializing, right? And perhaps wasting time and not being productive. So that's one of the challenges that we'd see just with the name itself. So one of the things that I try is instead of calling it social software, rather focus on the platform name, or call it Enterprise 2.0, so a new way to collaborate and really show them with my own personal stories as to how I use the software internally and how, I've been able to become so much more productive than what it was before.
Luis, how are people integrating the systems and software that they've used prior to getting Lotus Connections in to Lotus Connections? I mean, how's all that work?
So that's a great point, and actually something that some companies are not even thinking about. They think about social software and they look at connections, and so they think, all right, if we can build it, then people will eventually come. And so that's something that I work with customers and tell them, that's not really how it works. You really have to take this platform and both, you know, bring the tools to the end user and also integrate the tool with other existing business processes and really make it a core part of your business. If you make it just a silo where people are expected to go, you know, every day and, you know, open a browser, log on, figure out what's going on or, you know, what people are doing, that's really not going to drive adoption. But instead, if you can bring this platform down to the user, then that's really what's going to help. So, for example, I almost never use the browser to get to connections. I use it directly from the desktop plugins or my Notes client and my instant messaging client, and et cetera. I'm usually traveling and all over the place and on site with customers and even more, you know, mobile, right? So I'm not constantly connected to the network. Then, you know, it's really important that these tools are available in my context.
That's fascinating because I really don't know any other way to work. And what Louis says about making it part of the way that you work, that's really, really important. For me, it's natural to use activities to organize my files. I simply can't keep track of all the different projects that I'm working on any other way. And it's a great fit. You know, when you have that access to Lotus Connections from Lotus Notes, from Same Time, from your Explorer, it's really, really handy. You can use it to share files, you can use it to organize your activities, you can use it to post your notes in a blog or a wiki, and it just fits.
One thing that I'm not a daily connections user, I'll admit it. So one thing that's going through my mind now, and I don't know if Sasha, you want to talk about it, or Luis, and that is you have all this information being dumped, okay? And I'm not going to say, well, dumped is a little harsh, but, you know, placed into Lotus Connections. And the question that always comes to mind for me is, how do you see what you need to see when you need to see it?
Serendipity is an amazing thing. I find that things are actually surprisingly findable. If I search, I'll usually find a file or a blog post or a wiki page that's related to it. If I still can't find something, I'll probably find someone's bookmark to something. And if I still can't find something, even with that, I can post a message in my profiles board and get this, you know, tap into the organizational memory of where things are. Other people help out. So it's a great way for me to not only find what I'm looking for, but also stumble across things that I would never have known to search for.
Interesting. Luis, how about yourself?
I couldn't have said it better. But I think, you know, so part of it is, I depend a lot on my network, and I have a little plugin that's actually out in the Greenhouse catalog that every once in a while it would alert me what my colleagues are doing. And so I'm not remembering everything they're doing, but I'm kind of committing it to the back of my brain so that whenever somebody asks me something, it's like, oh yeah, I remember I saw that in Connections. So then it kind of just becomes this dependable search engine that I can just usually just go to and find information. And like Sasha said, if I can't find it within 1 minute, I can always easily reach out to my entire network and get the answer. In fact, I'm going to post a blog right after this podcast in that very example. 2 days ago, a customer asked me who was managing Lotus Connections on IBM.com. And I had no idea. And so I did a quick search in Connections, couldn't find it. So I decided to post a message or a question in my board. Just like, you know, in Facebook, you would do any barber recommendations or any food recommendations or whatever. So I did the same thing inside the firewall. Who knows who manages IBM.com? And literally within a minute, I have the screenshot to prove this, but in less than a minute, a VP, so no, you know, not a random person, but a VP in IBM responded and gave me the answer that I needed.
Okay, now I guess to kind of bring Sasha into the conversation here. Sasha, you tend to do some integration work, some work with APIs and development and things like that. What are some of the problems that you're helping to solve with the work that you do?
Well, Lotus Connections has a pretty good XML API. It uses Atom, so you can not only retrieve information, but you can also create and modify and delete information through it if you have the appropriate permissions. And I started thinking about some of the things that we really needed that maybe the development team couldn't get around to. They're busy working on other things. For example, I found myself needing to export discussions from communities fairly often. We run these virtual brainstorming discussions using Lotus Connections communities and the discussion forums in them. But instead of copying and pasting and linking and manually doing all of that, I wanted to get that into a spreadsheet that I could open in Microsoft Excel or Lotus Symfony. So I took a look at the API documentation. It's available. If you've got a Connections instance, you'll probably have the documentation too. And started poking around, and it turned out to be fairly easy to work with. So I built a tool initially using Ruby because I like using Ruby, and then later in Java so other people could use it too. And that took the data and exported it into an HTML format that you could then import. So that was one of the tools that I built, a simple way to export the data. And then since I'd already gotten my hands, you know, into the Connections API and trying to figure out how all the different feeds fit together, I said, well, I have this community and I need to email people what's been added to the community. So I built a newsletter tool. And that turned out to be pretty popular. So I built a community metrics tool, which basically just goes through the different feeds and counts up how many bookmarks have been posted and how many wiki pages have been posted and who's been active and so on and so forth. And that turned out to be popular as well. And there are all these little things that you can build to make people's lives easier, to make their work easier using the Lotus Connections API that you can do even if you don't have access to the database and even if you aren't part of the development team. Actually really, really cool.
And one of the things I think that we had talked about before sort of offline was that this code that you wrote has it's essentially open source within IBM, right? So that other people can build on it within IBM?
And it makes perfect sense to do that. For example, whenever I build a web application within IBM, I like sticking a link at the bottom saying, here's the source code in case you want to build on that. And I've seen people do that. They'll take an idea, they'll make it even better, and then I got to learn from what they do. So the Java library, for example, because it had come so often when we're dealing with connections, right? The API documentation is good, but you need more examples, and you need to know all the little workarounds that you need to do. And some of that information is in a wiki that people can add to, but it's so much more convenient when you have a library that you can code with. So I put that library together, and I added it to the project that Luis had started around. He had built this project for importing all sorts of information into connections, so I figured that was a natural place to have it. And I committed the source code to our internal open source repository. And there it is, in case people want to build more custom tools.
Well, now when you say repository, there's kind of some spot within IBM where everyone can kind of dump their open source code?
Mm-hmm. And we'll probably check later on to see whether we can actually mention that externally. But
okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you remember how SourceForge was really awesome for open source projects?
Yeah.
You know, to have a place where you could have a source code like a version control system that you can commit things to, and a bug tracker, and a way to display information about things, and a way to release files. Well, that kind of functionality makes a lot of sense in an enterprise, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and actually, I mean, Bruce and I are very much open source advocates in terms of, you know, all of Bruce's work on OpenNTF with just, which is, you know, kind of public Lotus Notes open source types of things. And I tend to write a lot of open source code myself. So that's just really kind of neat to me. Luis, you were going to add something?
And I think, you know, that's part of like maximizing productivity across the enterprise. So, you know, IBM can't probably afford having everybody just write code all day long. But if Sasha can find perhaps 45 minutes here, and then I can find 45 minutes over there, and then somebody else can find some more time to contribute, you know, slowly but surely we can create very awesome tools. And that's really what happened. You know, is I did something on my own spare time for fun, and then Sasha made it better, and then somebody else contributed to it, and then other people contributed to it, and then now we have this very nice toolkit to play with the APIs and really get some value out of it.
Yeah, well, and Luis, is any of this kind of seeping out and getting into the customers' hands at all? I mean, are you building tools that customers can use from this?
Actually, yeah. So one of the first examples is this notifications plugin that I mentioned earlier. So this plugin came from this effort, this open source effort that Sasha and I worked on. And so now this plugin is freely available to all customers worldwide, and it's posted on the catalog.lotus.com site.
Luis's work on making the newsletter plugin, for example, available externally, that's good stuff. People around the world are running into the same, the same use cases, the same things that we want to be able to do with collaborative tools. So if we can make their work easier by sharing things we've already built, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty familiar with things like the Lotus Connections business card and surfacing that. I know that's really not kind of an API thing. It's more of an HTML thing. What other kinds of simple things like the business card can people put into their Domino applications or any other type of web applications?
I think one of the hidden gems that Lotus Connections has is the ability to embed some of the components directly into other websites. So, for example, when you go to the bookmarks engine within Connections, at the very bottom of the page, there's a link that says embed this page or something like that. And it's very similar to what you may see perhaps in YouTube or SlideShare, where if you want to embed a YouTube video somewhere else, YouTube gives you the HTML code. So it's just a matter of copy-pasting that HTML code into the new place and off you go. And so Connections kind of does the same thing. So as you go to the bottom of that page and click on that link, it gives you the HTML that you can just copy-paste and off you go. You can pretty much integrate literally in less than a minute and bring some of the Connections bookmarks and components directly into other websites.
And then if you want to go beyond that, for example, start adding information or taking advantage of the information that's already in Connections, then studying the API and doing incredible things with it, it's actually pretty straightforward once you get past all the tricky bits. For example, I was very, very new to Expeditor development and building plugins for Lotus Notes, but thanks to Luis's source code, we got something going, and then I learned how to set it up so I could drag and drop mail from my Lotus Notes mail and into the plugin to add members to a community based on the email. So it's, once you start adding that capability to your plugin development or your X pages, it gets really, really cool.
Well, and there's this whole kind of widget aspect of Connections too, is there not?
Right. So Connections supports the iWidget standard. And that's, there's so many standards out there for gadgets. Like Google has their own standard and Yahoo has their own standard. And there's really no industry-wide or worldwide standard for widgets. In fact, IBM is kind of working right now with the Open Social Consortium to figure out if we can create a single widget standard. But part of the capabilities within Connections is to allow you to run widgets in certain parts of Connections. So, for example, in a community can have an infinite number of widgets. Of course, an infinite number of widgets may be a little bit overwhelming for the end users, but it really is very powerful because if a community wants to have perhaps a Google Calendar, they can take the Google Calendar widget and actually run it within Connections. And so Google has, 50,000 gadgets that are free, and you can actually take all of them and run them within Connections as needed. Or if you needed like a survey widget or you needed, some other kind of capability, you could either use one of the existing gadgets that are out there on the web, or you can create your own. And I've seen that done by several customers where they want to perhaps have a little widget with company news or some kind of way of pushing data over to the end user. Another nice widget is in the profiles component. there's a free LinkedIn widget. So say, for example, that you know you already have a LinkedIn profile and you want to surface that within your Connections profile, you don't have to type it all or copy-paste all the data into Connections. You can just connect LinkedIn to your Connections data, and voila. So there's you know, the possibilities are very are endless, pretty much.
Now, a lot of the tools and some of the technology pieces we're talking about here tend to be, in my mind anyway, things that people would use after they've already really started becoming immersed in the product. What kinds of extra things do you need to do, are you finding, to help promote just sort of general adoption? So, you know, instead of helping people use it better, what are some of the things that you're having to do or having to build that actually make people start using the product in the first place once it's installed?
So one of the things that we're doing now in 3.0 that I think are going to be critical is we've built a recommendations engine. So as part of new widgets that are going to be surfaced in communities and profiles and so on, Connections is now going to be recommending content to you. So based on, you know, who you are in the organization and who you have ties to, the system can infer what type of interesting content you may want to read or what type of interesting people you may want to follow. And I think that's going to be really key to drive adoption because, you know, based on what I heard, both internally at IBM and at other customers, sometimes, you know, people that do go via the browser to Connections, they may be a bit lost. You know, they're not sure where to start from. And so I think that's really going to make it a lot easier to get people to understand how to use it. Another interesting question or challenge that I often hear is people all over, you know, still not sure when to use a blog, when to use a wiki, when to use a discussion forum, or etc. So I think one of the things that's really important is, and one of the things that I've been working with customers is around creating like a one pager or some sort of brochure that's specific to the company. And so in that brochure, you can have, you know, very short tidbits as to, you know, what's the right moment or what's the right purpose, you know, what's the right use for a wiki and for a blog, and, you know, distribute that throughout the employees and, you know, just give them some ideas and just nudge them along. I'm also recommending not using words like wikis and blogs, because sometimes you say the word wiki and that turns people off. It's like, okay, wiki, I don't know, that's too complicated, that's too techy, that's not for me. So instead of saying the word wiki, just say, you know, a rich text editor where you can both author documents at the same time, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's, you know, some of the things that I'm helping customers right now.
Mm-hmm. It's actually quite interesting, and I want to tell this quick story about the wiki. I tend to be the early adopter in the groups that I work with, but I'm starting to see people shift the way that they work, and people are starting to ask me to, you know, oh, can you set up this wiki for us so we can exchange files? It takes me a little bit of thinking to realize what they mean is, can I set up an activity for them so that they can, you know, organize their files correctly? But people are starting to get there. So I guess when it comes to getting people to start using these things, it's really about making it fit the way people work, or helping people shift the way they work, making the tools part of what people normally use. So Lotus Notes plugins and same time integration and all these other things, and going to where people are. For example, again, the newsletter plugin that Luis and I have been working on makes it easier for people to get their community updates without having to learn about feed readers or pick which communities to go subscribe to or all of that stuff. It, you know, it goes to where people are, and that's in their inbox, unless you're Luis Suarez, in which case, you know, you're using a feed reader already. But yeah, email, you know, go for it if that's where people are.
Luis, did you say that the recommendation engine is a future or is it a current feature in 3.0?
So the recommendations engine is actually a feature, an out-of-the-box feature that's going to be available in 3.0. So it's a new thing that was added in that release, which is going to be available in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Circling, around back around to evangelism, you know, one thing in the Lotus world that I think we've talked about as a community for a long time was just what both of you are doing, and that is evangelism. So what, you know, what exactly does an evangelist do?
Oh, I've got a lovely blog post about this. I'll send you a link later.
Well, you can tell our audience about it.
And just to let you know, Bruce and I have seen you on YouTube, actually, Sasha.
Well, Luis, why don't you go ahead with explanation of what you do?
And I think you embarrassed her with the YouTube thing, Julian.
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, come on. It was good. It was another interview, actually.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that at the end. So, Luis.
I did that in the ukulele playing.
So do you get a special t-shirt, Luis, you know, with a big E on it for Lotus Connection?
No, but that would be really cool. So, you know, one of the things that I found to be really effective is to really tell people, you know, how the tool can benefit them. One of the things that people don't know about IBM is that some of the components within Connections, they've been around for 12 years. So, for example, Profiles came alive in 1998, so it's more than a decade now. And blogging has been around since 2002, and communities have been around since forever as well. But really, so I mentioned blogging, for example. Blogging came around in 2002, and it wasn't until 2006 that I started using it. And I heard that we had blogs, and I heard that, you know, it was good to share, and IBM was going to benefit from this, and so forth. But it wasn't until I saw a video from Luis Suarez. I call him my twin brother from the other island in Spain. But Luis Suarez created a video where he shared how he was benefiting from Connections and how he was using it to personally become more effective and how he was using it to reduce email. And that really struck a chord in me because I was getting inundated by email. I was getting the same question from different people all over the world. And, you know, I really felt very unproductive. I really felt like IBM was paying me, but not to innovate, rather just to answer email. And that was, you know, kind of sad. So when I started using the tools, I quickly became a believer. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I literally saw my email traffic, for example, go down from 100 plus emails a day to like 20 emails a day, which is just fantastic. You know, and now I really have time to innovate. And, you know, proof of that is all these new plugins that Sasha and I are working on. So what I've been doing now is kind of paying that forward, you know, creating my own videos and creating my own presentations and you know, whatever I can do to kind of help spread the word and share my personal story as to how IBM has been or how I have benefited from the tool. In fact, one of the presentations that is floating around that people ask me to do a lot is how to grow your career within IBM using social software. And so that's, you know, that's one of the most popular presentations that people like to hear. And every time we set something up like that, it's, you know, 100 plus people in the web conference. They're all interested in this topic because, again, it really goes after the personal business value of, you know, why use social software inside the firewall.
That's actually a great example of evangelism in action. You just heard it there. And let me break that down for you so you can really see what an evangelist is doing. Luis established the problems. He shared something that a lot of people are going through. He's someone people can identify with. He told a story of how he learned how to use social software. It's not about the technology. It's about the practices and the value that people get. He talked about the business value that he got out of it. He talked about how he was sharing that with other people, sometimes his new workflow, what he's doing now. And he talked about how he's scaling up that kind of communication. So in a nutshell, that's what a technology evangelist does. You're not just taking a technology and you're putting it in front of people and you're expecting them to change. You've got to work with that human factor. You've got to work with stories and processes and people's resistance and also the people's, you know, people's desire to do things better.
Cool. Very cool. It sounds like you both really don't enjoy your jobs.
I love it. I love what I get to do. It's amazing.
You know, it is amazing because today, right, social software, social media is like on fire, right? So what I'd really like to know is, what do you both see down the road happening? You know, when you know, it's sexy, right? Social software, social media right now is totally sexy. It's the rage. Companies are just now asking about it, right? More so than they were, you know, a year or two ago. And how do you answer the question about ROI, right? When someone says to you, Luis and Sasha, you know, all this stuff is well and good. It's going to help me get a promotion with inside IBM. But, you know, bottom line, this software costs money. So how do you equate and present to customers and prospects, you know, ROI on purchasing and installing and implementing and training and whatever connections?
You know, that's a great question. And so I would ask back, what's the ROI of email? And if you think about it, you know, back when email started 25 years ago, people had the same fears and the same questions. Should we really give email to all of our employees? Because if we do, are they just going to be emailing their spouses? Are they going to be emailing their friends and talking about football or soccer or baseball or whatever the case may be? And so the same fears that people have today about social media, they had them when email came along. And the same for instant messaging. You know, for the companies that deployed instant messaging, they asked the same question. What's going to be the ROI for this? And are people really going to be using it for the business, or are they going to be just shutting away and wasting their time? So I think it's just a new communication method. In fact, The Economist, and I can send you a link so you can include it in the show notes for the podcast. The Economist earlier this year had a fantastic article for discussing and talking about the ROI of social media. And the quote, the article starts with the following quote: there's an astonishing amount of time being wasted measuring the amount of time being wasted on social networks. it's so true. You know, it's just, you know, when you do it correctly and when you have the right guidelines and you train your employees and you let them know how to use this, eventually, you know, they're going to use it the right way. And, you know, if you have so many employees that are not busy enough, that they're going to be wasting their time, then I think that's another issue, right? It's not like this new tool is going to cause people to waste time, because if they don't have time to waste, then they're not going to use the tool.
Well, I was thinking when you were saying, oh, social software is on fire and social software is sexy, this is actually where I'm going to disagree with you and get in a bit of a soapbox, because I think it's not about it's definitely not about the software, the technology. What's really fascinating is what people and organizations and networks and communities and teams can do with it. So what we're seeing, for example, within IBM, because people have been blogging, because people have been in communities and they're using activities and files and all these other things, what can people do differently now that they found hard to do before? Imagine what it took to get the organization to the point where somebody like me, I'm fairly new to IBM. I started blogging when I was a graduate student. I joined IBM a couple of years later. I've been with IBM's regular employee for about 3 years now. The fact that I can work with Luis in this, you know, volunteer project for fun and make something that turns out to be really useful for lots of people. These are the kinds of connections that are very difficult to do in an organization without this kind of connective tissue. So what people are doing with this is much more interesting and much more important than the actual tools. Of course, the tools enable certain kinds of behavior and make some things easier than others, but that's what I think is going to be really, really interesting. So as companies start exploring this, as people start exploring this and they try what it's like to share by default, what it's like to share and open things up to serendipitous discovery and connect with people around the world or in different departments, oh my goodness, I think we'll see a lot of very interesting patterns emerge. And it's wonderful that in IBM, we tend to be this kind of this lab of the future. We've got a whole bunch of early adopters. We've got a long history of collaborative software. We've got the infrastructure and the scale to experiment with a lot of these interesting ideas. We're starting to see how it can really transform the way people work. So that is all good stuff.
Okay, you know what? I think that's probably a good place to kind of wrap up. That's, you know, what better way than just sort of talking about, you know, people, give people a call to action, I guess. You know, everyone can get off the podcast now and actually go and figure out how to put this in their own organization, I think. Bruce, is there anything that we need to cover real quick before we say goodbye to everyone?
A couple of things, Mr. Robichaux, and that is, Sasha, where can people find you online?
My blog, livinganawesomelife.com.
Do you have a Twitter name,
yes,
too?
Yes, I am on Twitter. I am Sasha C. That's S-A-C-H-A-C, Sierra Alpha Charlie, Hotel Alpha Charlie.
Okay. And Luis, yourself, on the web, where would people find you?
So my blog is going to be livinganawesomelife.com. No, I'm just kidding. I love Sasha's blog URL. So my blog is at lbenitez.com. So lbenitez as in zebra. And that's the same for my Twitter. So twitter.com/lbenitez.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll go ahead and have links for those on the show notes as well. So people can just go straight to the website and click through.
Yep.
Bruce, was there something else?
No, you know, it truly is amazing. You know, we could do a whole nother show. In fact, we should talk about doing another show to continue on the discussion that we had today. You know, we got really going. I think I pushed a button with Sasha and Luis regarding ROI. And, you know, that's something I hear all the time, you know, from my little world of El Guji software. And it's I think you both presented a very I think you love Lotus Connections. I think you love social software, and it shows. Okay, and I think the audience really appreciates everything that you had to offer them today regarding your worlds. So we thank you.
Thank you for putting this together.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's a wrap for episode 121. We'll catch everyone for 122. Real soon.
Oh, 11 squared.
11 squared. Take care, everybody.